Hi everyone, welcome to the case study group call. So this is an informal call where we all kind of can come together and talk. So if you have questions, press 1, and Shannon or Aaron from my office will screen the call and we'll put you through. So the call can go for up to an hour. If you have questions and anything you want to talk about, we can talk about. If you don't have questions and everything's good, then we'll just go for however long we go. But this is just sort of an opportunity for us to come together in an informal way. Now, I do have a couple of announcements and things that I want to talk about. But before I do, I'd like to bring someone on that I just think is an incredibly inspiring person. She's a perfect example of something I've said for so long, and that is that when you have emotional issues that are causing your body to want to hold on to weight, nothing's going to really work in the long term. Maybe you'll lose a little bit of weight, but then you'll end up rebounding back. But if you can address the emotional issues, pretty much anything's going to work. Whatever programs you want to be in a program, it's going to work. Whatever you do is going to work once your body wants to lose weight. And this lady was phenomenally successful. She looks like she's about 35 years old, but I'm sure that's not possible because she's got 11 kids, age 3 to 20, I think. Absolutely amazing. She's lost over 100 pounds or 50 kilos, and she looks like a fitness trainer. She looks amazing. I met her in Kiama a couple of months ago when we were doing our seminar. She's just truly inspiring. So I just wanted to bring her in and just hear a little bit and share a little bit about her story. Her name's Christine Kennedy. So Christine, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, Christine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. And also when you came to Kiama, it really lit people up because, you know, I have one kid and that's a full-time job. And you know, many parents are struggling, two kids, three kids, and you're just underwater and it's a lot of work. You've got 11 kids, and on top of 11 kids, you were able to totally change your body and your life and lose an enormous amount of weight. So just wondering if you can tell us a little bit about how that all came about.
Yeah, sure, John, I can. Well, you know, for me, having 11 kids is just my life, so it doesn't seem very different to me, although I'm sure it might to a lot of people out there. Okay.
I saw your bus when we came down, when we met in Brisbane. I saw your family come down in a big bus. Trust me, it's different than what most of us are used to.
That's the family car, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, John, I've struggled with my weight for many, many years. As a young person, I was very fit and played a lot of sport. But as we got married and started having children, I guess the weight started coming on. And I just thought that was the way it was going to go, you know. And I would lose some weight. I would go on different sorts of weight loss ideas and programs and pills and whatever. And I would lose some weight. And then the more weight I lost, I would gain twice as much back, you know, twice as quickly. And this went on for many, many years until I had ballooned to 111 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds.
That would be about 240 pounds, I'd say, 250, maybe 240 some odd, 250 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I got up to that weight, and I was like in a size 24, and it was tight, and I was uncomfortable, and I hated how I looked, and I just thought, well, I'm stuck. This is it. This is me. I'm big. There's nothing I can do, because I had tried so many things, and nothing was working. I didn't really know why that was happening. I thought, well, it's because I've had the kids and this is what I'm going to be now. So I was looking on the web and I saw your book there online, and I thought, well, you know, gee, I've tried so much other stuff. Why not try this? This guy kind of looks like me, you know. I might give this a go. So I got the book and I started reading the book, and for the first time, it made sense. I was going, wow, this guy's got it. This is right. This is real. It's, this is what's, what the problem is. But then I got to the chapter on emotional obesity, and it was like I hit a brick wall. It was like I just had to stop because my heart sank, and I then knew what the answer was for me. I knew that there was something in my past that had happened to me, and it just was as clear as day that that was what was holding me back, and I couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
So I put the book down, and I spent, you know, I cried, and I went, you know, great, if I've got to deal with that, I'm never going to get through it. It felt like the end. However, events went on in my life, and things happened, and I don't know, just little by little, I think just addressing that, addressing the emotional issues in my own life through working through them and through time and through speaking with my husband, all of a sudden it seemed to break it down. And my husband one day said to me, you know, honey, I think we're going to have to look at getting a low block house for you because I don't think you can get up those stairs anymore. And that was it. And it was like it was like a snap of the finger. It was like, no, hang on, that's gone.
That's gone.
I've dealt with that. And I knew at that moment that I could do this. And, you know, before that, before he said that to me and before I had worked through those emotional issues, I would look at your book and, you know, the picture where you've got the silhouette of the person and the thinner person inside. I couldn't see the thin person. All I could see was the outside. But from that moment on, I would look at that and I would see the inside person. It was like that person inside then was glowing and was coming out of the image. And before I addressed these issues, I was the big person and there was no way there was a thin person inside me. But after I felt that change and I felt that switch flick, I was the inside person and I was glowing and I was just pushing my way out. Yeah, so that's how it happened. That's how the switch flicked over for me. That's totally amazing.
But at the same time, it's consistent with so many stories I've heard. And to me, the emotional issues are a little bit like, I always say, let's say you've lost your keys and you're looking around the house for them. And, you know, you think maybe the keys are under your bed, but you don't want to bend down and look under your bed, you know. So you look on the counter, you look in the kitchen, you look in the bureau, you look in the garage, you look and you keep looking in those same places over and over again, but you're never going to find the keys until you look where they are. That to me is exactly the way the emotional thing is. And what you're saying is very powerful. It's exactly what we've experienced is that when you do look at the real issues, the weight comes off because the real issues are causing your body to want to hold on to weight. It's just that simple. We always want to just count calories. And that's going to work if the weight goes away. But if the weight doesn't go away, I mean, if the issue goes away, but if the issue doesn't go away.
It's a problem,
You got big problems. So now you've lost the weight, and how long ago was that? A year ago or something? A year ago? And what's your life like now?
The weight literally flew off me. Once I'd addressed that issue, the weight just flew off. I couldn't lose it quick enough. And I wasn't trying, and it wasn't hard. It just came off, and that's the truth. I started probably about March of last year, and by December I'd lost 50 kilos.
Wow.
So,
which is 100.
I'd gone from a size.
Amazing.
Yeah. About a size 24, a tight 24 to size 10. So.
Yeah. That's totally amazing. It's such a beautiful story. And And so do you have anything you can share with our listeners? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can share. Life is just amazing now. I mean, my kids used to look at me, and when they wanted me to come and play with them or watch them, they would get a chair because they knew that I wouldn't be able to stand or get on the trampoline or ride a bike. But now when they want me to play, I'll come and get in their tent or I jump on their trampoline. I ride scooters with them. I wanted to be there for my kids and for myself and for my husband. and just live the full life that, you know, I know I'm entitled to, because I know I'm worth it. And anyone on this journey, you've got to say to yourself, you are worth it. You're amazing. Everyone's an amazing person, and you're worth being the best you can be.
It's true. It's a beautiful concept. And not only are you worth it, but look at how much more you're able to give to your family since you gave to yourself. You know, I think that's a challenging issue for people to understand. You know, especially when you're a parent in general, you just want to give everything to your kids, and you've got a spouse, you want to just give and give and give. And then you feel like, well, there's no time for you, or you're not as important. But the truth is, if you're not giving to yourself, you have nothing to give. And if you look at, you invested in yourself, you gave to yourself, look at how much more you have now. Precious, priceless gifts that you're giving to your kids and your family. A mother that's there that can go camping and play, you know what I mean? This is a priceless gift. And yet the way you gave it is you gave to yourself. Does that make sense? Is that right?
It's like being in the plane, John, you know, when you pull down the air mask in case of an emergency. You've got to pull the air mask down on yourself first before you help anyone else.
Exactly.
And that's just what it was like for me. And for so many others, I think.
That's a perfect message. Is there anything else you want to leave our listeners as far as, you know, how to get started, where to go from here? You know, what would you do if you were coaching them? What would you say to them?
Wow. What would I say? Do your visualizations, because they're great. And have your own images too of what you want to be for yourself. Like for me, it was me and my wedding dress was one of my pictures. And I actually got back into my wedding dress. So that was great. Just ask questions and also stay in contact with other people on the same journey too.
That's perfect. That's exactly what we created this group case study for, so people can stay in contact and communicate. And that's what this call's about. So, Christine, those are priceless words. You know, by the way, I think you'd make a great coach. I'm sure you have lots of free time on your hand because you only have 11 kids. It's something you and I should talk about sometime, because I just think you'd make an incredibly effective and inspiring coach. So maybe we can have a chat about that.
That'd be terrific.
Okay.
Yeah, for
Listen,
sure.
I really appreciate Thanks so much, Christina. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, John. All the best, everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Christine is absolutely amazing. I just love her to bits. And you know, when I first met her, actually, we were doing a television show, a news show in Brisbane. What happened was some TV show in Brisbane called me up and said, we'd like to do a news show on you, but not just you, other people that have been successful in the Brisbane area. And I was living in Western Australia at the time. So you know anyone in the Brisbane area that's been real successful? And, yeah, we have had people. As a matter of fact, there's this one guy who's lost 100 kilos, and he's a real private person. I know he doesn't like to talk or go on the air. Right after I got off the call, I got a Facebook message from Christine, and she goes, "Hey, John, I'd like to let you know your program's amazing. I've lost 100 or I've lost 50 kilos, and I've got 11 kids," and, you know, right afterwards. So I called her up. She was on the show. And as I'm listening to her on the show, I just looked at her and I said, "You are one of the biggest inspirations I have ever seen in my life. I can't envision how somebody can have, you know, be giving so much to so many people and be able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and totally transform their life and their body." And it's just, it's a powerful message. It's humbling, really, is what it is. But I just want to bring in some of our coaches, too, and just have a chat and check in with them and see what their thoughts are as to how the program's going. Then I'm just going to make a couple announcements. I do know we have a couple of people that want to raise their hand and want to talk. I certainly will get to you. There's no question. So anybody else that has questions, just press 1, and this is the opportunity for us all to talk. So before we do that, let's bring in Coach Brian and just have a quick chat with him. I'm sorry, not Coach Brian. Coach Paul, my dad. Coach Paul, you there?
Hi, John. How are you going?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, great.
Hey, you know,
this is my first topic.
Go ahead. You go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to say this is my first opportunity to be part of this and the group coaching call, and that was just fantastic listening to Christine.
Wasn't that amazing? Yeah, and I met Paul also in the last Kayama retreat, and Paul's a psychologist that's got a lot of training in working with people and helping them work through issues, and I just think Paul's just got amazing insights. And Paul, you said something yesterday when we were talking on the phone that I thought was absolutely brilliant. And I don't know if you, maybe you can share it conceptually, or maybe I'll just say that we're talking about different goals. People are setting goals about they want to lose this much or that much. And he sort of changed it to, rather than having specific weight goals, having performance goals, because performance goals are going to bring around the weight changes quicker, because it's the actions and steps that you do to actually address the real issues to get your body to want to be thin that's going to determine how much you lose, not how much weight you want to lose and how quickly. You've got to stay focused on the real issues, and he's got a sort of a good approach for staying focused on the real issues, which he calls performance goals rather than specific weight goals. So I'm wondering if you just conceptually share that concept with us, please.
Yeah, it occurred to me, John. See, I've got a history in a previous life as a sports psychologist working with elite athletes. And we just know that an outcome goal has a purpose. It's something that you work towards, but you pretty much put it up there on the shelf. Because if that becomes your sole point of focus, then all it really does is put you under stress. And stress, as we know, is going to turn on your fat triggers. So it occurred to me when I was listening to some of the stories this month that it was helpful to actually bring that to people's awareness and bring them back to the step-by-step process that's going to get them there. So typically in the sports world, we knew that if getting an athlete or a, let's say a tennis player to focus on the aspects of their performance which would actually increase the likelihood of them winning, let's say, a point, and if they focus there, then the points start to take care of themselves, and sooner or later the games and then the sets, and before they know it, they've actually achieved their outcome goal without actually really focusing on the outcome goal. And that frees them up to actually have lots of really moments of success, and it gets the focus into where it needs to be. So just by, you know, rather than getting caught up in, let's say I've got to lose 20 kilos in 3 months or 4 months' time, for me, all that we're going to do is set the clock ticking. And then in 2 months' time and in 3 months' time, if I'm nowhere near that goal, then that just becomes a pressure cooker situation. It's far more powerful to actually bring ourselves back to, let's celebrate doing the visualization. Let's celebrate making an appointment with a personal trainer to get some basic training done. Let's celebrate going to the health food store and getting some more Gabriel Method nutritionist ingredients and just build it step by step, and then before you know it, it's starting to take care of itself.
It's so perfect. It's 100%. It's just, to me, it's just 100% right. You know, if you're focused on a specific weight goal, it's going to, as you say, it's going to cause you stress, and stress is what is one of the main triggers that causes you to gain weight. So, but if you're focused on the visualization, then the visualization is reducing stress, and the goal is, am I listening to the visualization every morning and every night? That is the primary goal. If you're focusing on that, then you're going to reduce the stress, and then you're going to lose the weight. It may be quicker or maybe longer than your arbitrary goal that you've set for yourself, but you're solving the real problems rather than exacerbating the problem. So it's a brilliant, brilliant strategy, and I would encourage all of you to look at that and just do these simple things. I remember I was speaking to Coach Smita yesterday, which we're going to bring in a second, and she sort of had the same idea of, one of her ladies was just so overwhelmed and she couldn't figure out how to do all the things. And I said, just focus on two things. Listen to the evening visualization, listen to the morning visualization. Everything else is a bonus. If you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. But just those two things will set the clock right. To me, listening to the visualizations is like setting the dials on the automatic pilot in a plane. You're going to go in the right direction. So naturally, you're going to drink more water. And naturally, you're going to crave healthier foods. You're going to have more salads, more omega-3s. You're going to exercise more. You're going to do all those things that we want you to do and that we encourage you to do. But all you got to focus on is the visualization. So do nothing else, but make sure on a performance basis, are you listening to the evening one? Are you listening to the morning one? Celebrate that and watch how everything else builds from that. So I think that's really good. So how's everything else going in your coaching and with your clients? Do you have anything you want to share with them?
I'm just really enjoying this, John. I want to thank you for this opportunity too, because I'm connecting with some wonderful people. There's a lot of tough stories out there, but I'm humbled by the amount of effort that people have made. Not only in their history and what's brought them to this moment in time, but they're all striving for this better life, and it's just there. You can just see how close it possibly can be. And that's just really, for me, it's just beautiful to be part of that process and be able to support people and to help them and to guide them. So I'm really enjoying this.
Great. And especially when you hear stories like Christine's, where she's been through that process, the same thing that I went through, where every diet you lose weight and gain weight, you lose weight and gain weight, and then you've come to a real solution. And to be able to support that solution in what we're doing, I think is powerful. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work that you're doing, Paul. And I'm sure your clients do too. So thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. I'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Okay.
So bye-bye. So let's keep going. We've got a couple other coaches I just want to bring in. I know Smita, Coach Smita's on the line. So let's just bring her in real quick and have a chat.
Hi, John. How are you?
Smita. Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to say is I really appreciate you making the effort, because Smita's in England, and it's got to be like 3 o'clock in the morning over there. Is that right?
Yeah, 2:30 in the morning coming to you.
Yeah, so I appreciate you making the effort. So I don't want to keep you on all the whole time, but how's it going? How's everything going for you?
Yeah, just like Paul, I'm very much enjoying the coaching calls. It's great meeting all the people. They've got such interesting lives. And it's a lot of them have gone through a lot in their lives, and they're still going through a lot. So it's great to see them making the changes on top of everything else that they've got going on. And some of them have been dieting a long time throughout their lives. So to actually see the relief they have when they actually stop dieting, it's really good to see that. So there's been a lot of successes so far in terms of how people have been embracing the actions, and you can, like some of the clients, you can really see a marked difference in the way that they look, especially online. They seem full of vitality. Some look like different people altogether, because like just changing the water, their digestion, you can see on their faces how it's affected them.
Yeah.
In a positive
way.
Yeah,
we get a lot of comments. It's true that people just, that there are people are stopping and saying, you look healthier, you look more vibrant. Losing weight, I think it's important for everybody to understand that losing weight this way is different than a diet, where you go on a diet, you lose as much weight as you can, as quickly as you can, so you can go off the diet because you can't stand it anymore. And then you have this big rebound. We don't want to put anything in your life that you can't stand or that's not sustainable. Mm. So and that process takes some time, because what happens is it takes time for your body to regain the ability to burn fat, to stabilize its blood sugar, to change its cravings, to be nourished, to feel calmer and deal with emotional issues. All these things take time, but once you address them, you're done with the issues forever. So that process can be quick, it can be slow, it can be gradual, it can be where you lose a lot of weight and stabilize and then go again. And I think it's important for everybody to understand that process. So good. All right. So, I know we've got several people we have to bring in, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. I want you to get back to sleep so you can do some coaching.
Okay.
So
I just wanted to say that some people also, John.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that some people are finding a huge benefit from the visualizations. They've been able to think a lot more clearly, feel less stress, and also. Like a few of my ladies have changed their capacity for dealing with stress as well. And they're finding it a lot easier to tackle things head on. So It really is making a difference.
That's exactly right, Smita. And that's why I say if you focus on the visualizations, everything else will come. Mm. Because if you're able to deal with stress better, the stress level goes down. You're calmer. You're not reacting. You're not having binges. You know, so staying focused on the real issues and especially staying focused on doing the visualizations is going to make everything else so much easier and make it all come together.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much, Smita. So we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Take care. I'd like to bring in Coach Brian, and then we're going to start taking calls. So, again, if you have questions, we got a couple people with their hands up. Not too many, actually. It looks like we got just a few. So if you have any questions, press 1, and we will take your call. But in the meantime, let's have a quick chat with Coach Brian. Brian, you there? Hello? We may have missed Coach Brian. Let me see what happened here. Hold on. Okay. I guess we missed Coach Brian. I don't know what happened with him, but that's okay. He might come on later in the show. But in the meantime, so then let's start taking some of your questions. And I think our first question is from Ellen. So if we can put Ellen on, I'll take her. Ellen, are you there? Hello, Ellen, are you there? Okay, we're having some technical difficulties here. Let me just see what the problem is. All right, so if Ellen's not there, let's put on Petra from New South Wales.
Hi, John.
Hi, is this Petra?
Hello. Yes, it's me.
Hello,
Hi.
This is Petra. Okay,
yes,
so we missed Ellen. Ellen, if you got disconnected or something, you call back, press 1, we'll get you back in there. So let's talk to Petra. Is it Petra or Peter?
Peter.
Peter, how are you?
Yes, it's Peter, John. I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Great, how can I help you?
Okay, my question, I started a few weeks ago, and as usual, I followed everything to the letter. You know, I added in things. I've added my supplements, doing my visualizations. Everything was going great. And then a few days ago, I just kind of lost it. And I started to go back to old patterns. And within a couple of days, I've even stopped taking my supplements and everything. And I just feel like I'm on this same path of, you know, downhill. And I'm really concerned. And I'm wondering, how can I rein myself back in? This is what happens
to me all the time. I'll tell you what I did when I was losing weight. I came to a place where, because I had that same sort of lifestyle, right, where I'd be really, really good, I'd tick all the boxes, and then I'd have this big binge, and then I'd be off it, and it just seemed so monumental to get back on that I just felt myself sliding down a ravine, you know, that I knew I'd have to climb up someday, but I'd have to do it another day. When I first started getting successful, I decided I was never going to have a good day again and never going to have a bad day again. So, and that's the essence of being off a diet, right? So the only things I would focus on is making sure that I was doing the visualizations that I was doing. So I was listening to visualization CDs and I was doing my own types of visualizations. And I made sure that I was nourishing my body each day. So if I had chocolate one day, if I had this, it didn't mean I was off it. Because the way it used to be, and I'm sure you experienced this, is that you're either on it or you're not. So if I was on the Atkins diet, for example, there's no way you'd have chocolate. And so if I had even one piece of chocolate, that was it. I'm off the diet. And then, you know, all bets are off. And you go to the store and you get everything. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's an important positioning step to have, because you got to realize this is for solving the problem forever. This is about being sustainable in your life. So you've got to come to a place where there's never a good day and never a bad day. You want a piece of chocolate, eat it, with the idea that over time you're probably not going to want that in the future. But that's where you are right now.
Yeah, I can't wait for the issues.
But you can't. But the way to get to it, think of where you are right now, right? The way you get to it is not by what you're doing now, where you're striving really, really hard to be really good, and then you're really, really bad because you look how far away you've gone over the last whatever it is, couple of days or weeks. Do you understand? So that's not going to take you to where you want to be. where it is going to take you where you want to be is when you're in that situation where you have that chocolate, you're all right, so that's where I am today. And in a certain time, I'm not going to be there. That's where we are, and we're working on addressing the issues. So as long as you stay focused on the positive acts that you're doing, let the eating thing be a secondary thing. Let your body self-regulate for a while, and know that it's going to get easier and easier. So I ended up, while I lost weight over a 2.5 year period, and then probably I'd say for the first 3 to 6 months I was eating chocolate on a regular basis. I was not losing weight quickly, but I was losing weight because I had addressed stress and the emotional issues. I mean, I really nailed them to the point where I had to make a lifestyle change. And so my body didn't want the weight anymore. So what would happen when I'd want the chocolate, I had these chocolate almonds, is I'd eat one or two. I wouldn't do this hoard type of thing where now I'm eating chocolate almonds and I eat everything in the house. So it wasn't like that. It was just, there was no friction. So I'm walking by the fridge, I want a chocolate almond, I eat it, I keep going. There's no hesitation in eating it. There's no need to have another one because there's a knowing that you can have that whenever you want. So that's an important place to be. Now, yeah, you're probably not going to lose 20 kilos in 20 days doing that. But
yep.
you will by doing the positive acts of nourishing your body, taking care of digestion, dehydration, sleep apnea, detoxification, listening to the visualizations, but really for the start, just listening to the visualizations and making sure you're nourishing your body. If you just start with those things, the problem will get addressed over time, and that's exactly why this is a six-month process. This isn't a six-month process so we can do, you know, the Biggest Loser for 6 months. That's not what this is. Mm. This is a six-month process because it takes that long to get to address the real issues sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. So maybe I'm just trying to be too, because it's like what you said. My diet's either perfect or it's horrible.
Right, right.
It's like you've been at
the Biggest Loser competition, and you got to hang in there, you know, and then you screwed up,
yeah,
and you're like, screw it. So that's not this is the rest of your life. Okay.
Yeah.
We're working on the rest of your life, and the rest of your life is not about deprivation. It's not about willpower night and day. It's about exactly what Christine said: putting some systems in place that will address the real issues and solve the problem forever. So Christine doesn't have good. I'm putting words in her mouth, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't have good days and bad days. Okay. So I'm sure she's careful with what she eats. But it's not an effort the way it was at one time. So this is where you are right now. Give it all the time it needs. We're solving the problems. Now, my guess is that those triggers relate to exhaustion and stress in your daily life, which we all feel, which you'll feel less and less and less over time by listening to the morning and evening visualizations and doing some of the other things to nourish your body. So all of these things are going to make the problem go away so that when you're in the real life situation and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not exhausted, you're not stressed out, and you're not having a binge because you don't need it. So those things are going to address the root cause and make the issues go away so that you don't have those problems anymore. But just focusing on whether or not you can do the, you know, maintain the program and be really, really good is not going to get you there. Focus, when you say being good, what's being good is doing the actual positive things of nourishing your body and listening to visualization, not avoiding all the negative things. Yeah, it would be great if we could avoid the negative things. And in fact, for me, over time, while I was losing weight, I ended up eliminating all the negative things. I mean, I stopped eating, at a certain point, I stopped eating chocolate, I stopped eating sugar, I stopped eating bread, I stopped eating all grains. And it's been 8 years since I've even thought of eating grains or any type of what people consider, you know, starchy type of things that cause problems. It's been 8 years. I never even think about it. And my diet is incredibly satisfying to me. And I eat whenever I want, all I want, and it's perfect. But that went away in an organic process. Because believe me, I did the same thing that you did, and I did it for 11 years, and all it did was keep backfiring and backfiring.
Yep. Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Well, it does make sense. And just to probably have a bit more patience with myself.
Patience and love, compassion, and understanding that your body's confused right now. Your body's biology is confused into thinking you need weight. And as long as it's confused that way, it's going to want to hold on to the weight. And there's lots of metabolic reasons for it. Some of it is just because all the processed food we've eaten has caused hormonal imbalances, which trigger your body to think that it doesn't have the right amount of weight on it. Emotional issues, all these things, and we're working at every single conceivable level to solve the problem. It's just you need compassion and understanding for your body, and you need to focus on just a couple of really positive actions, specifically the visualizations and nourishing your body.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Listen, I lost 100 kilos, 220 pounds, without ever taking a digestive enzyme. It wasn't until after I lost the weight that I learned about digestion. You know what I mean? So these things you have to do. It's just that I've learned down the road some things that will help expedite the process. You know?
Right.
So you don't have to do all these things, but you do have to do a couple of simple, really simple things. Okay?
Okay. Yep,
great.
Thank you.
All right, let's keep in touch. And I've got my office hours, you know. So my office hours, by the way, everybody, are 4 days a week, usually Monday to Thursday for an hour. You need to check the schedule. And those are my office hours. So you and I, Petta, we can talk, whenever you have a question.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's talk to Sandy in Brisbane, please.
Oh, hi, John.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
How are you?
I think I've just sort of had my questions answered, actually. I was doing really, really well. I went to the Kiama retreat, lost 18 kilos, and...
Great. Is this the Kiama retreat that we just... Which Kiama retreat? The one we did in May?
In May, yeah. And I just kind of really gelled with the whole program. It just made sense to me. It was fantastic. And things were just really cruising along, and I thought, oh, this is just so easy, it's ridiculous. And literally the weight was just dropping off me every day. And then I reached a point, like everyone was saying, you look fantastic, you look so happy, you're really healthy. And I'm not really sure what happened. I just reached a point where I woke up one morning and I felt, oh, I'm really scared. I just felt really terrified that I'm, you know, people were commenting on how good I was looking. I couldn't cope with that very well. I kind of felt exposed, and I thought, I'm not ready to deal with this yet. I had a really good chat to my coach about it, and we covered some emotional issues, which are fairly significant, and he recommended a type of therapy I probably need to use. So I've gotten onto that, and I actually start that the week after next, but we've had to go through other things as well, and that sort of brought up a whole lot of emotional stuff. And in the process of that, I've just kind of thought, oh God, I'm trying to deal with this, you know, and I'm a perfectionist, so I was trying to work the program perfectly. And then I ended up just stopped doing everything because I was just so overwhelmed. But just what you said a while back, just do your morning and evening visualizations.
Take the perfectionist. The perfectionist mentality is a sure way to fail. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Take the perfectionist out of the loop. You know, just no good days, no bad days. But your situation is very, very typical. Because sometimes, and I talk about this all the time, we're going to use weight as a form of protection. And many, many women have this exact same experience. Someone says you look great and you feel exposed and you feel vulnerable. So that safe and protected visualization that I made is custom made for you, because that's exactly what's going to using either the imagery of the column or the angel wings, if you have that belief orientation. If you don't, it's no big deal at all. It's just a way of communicating to your body that you're safe and protected. And what I would encourage you to do when you're doing your visualizations, and we can do something right now. Let's just do something right now. Just take 2 minutes if you're willing. Are you there? Okay, so let's do this.
Yeah.
So I'd like you to imagine that you're walking down the street and you're just in your most ideal weight. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So you're wearing your favorite clothes, the wind's blowing in your hair, you look lovely, you're just radiating light and beauty. Everything's good in your world. How does that feel?
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad. Okay, now I want you to imagine that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Because I know at the retreat when we first did that, I just went into sort of a panic state. And then I think someone else mentioned about it, and we did the angels and the column, and then that made all the difference. So I'm actually able to imagine that now a lot better than what I used to be able to.
Right. So let's take it a step further. So you're walking down the street, you're in your most perfect, ideal shape, and people can't help but notice you because you're so attractive, which, you know, you're radiating light, and people are attracted to your light, and that will happen, I guarantee you. And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, anybody can look at anything they want, and you will have light coming out of you, and people will be attracted to that. So you're walking down the street, people are noticing, they can't help but look at you. How does that feel?
Kind of like there's pressure.
Okay.
I suppose, in a sense, this is what's been happening, is people have not only said, you look great, you've lost so much weight, but they've also said, you're just radiating energy, you just look amazing.
Right.
And it's like there's
this
pressure now that I've got to keep going like this.
Right. Okay. So when you're in that situation where you're in your most perfect ideal and you're not 100% comfortable, well, there's a communication problem between your body and your mind, because at one level, on a conscious level, you want this, but you're communicating to your body that you don't want this because it's scary. So let's stay with this imagery for one more minute. And you're walking down the street. You're absolutely radiating light and beauty in your most perfect ideal way, and you look fabulous. And I'd like you to imagine that while you're walking down the street, you've got this beautiful column of light around you, and maybe a beautiful, powerful 12 foot high, but also maybe three or four meter high, beautiful, loving, safe, divine, powerful angel wrapping her wings around you to protect you and keep you safe while you're going. So you're in this sort of cocoon of protection, but at the same time, you're totally radiating light and beauty. How do you, and you're walking down the street and people are noticing you. How do you feel now?
Safe.
So this is a really simple type of imagery. And by the way, everyone listening, you can use any type of imagery you want. But this is a really good type of using visualization to create a surrogate for the weight. In other words, right now the weight is doing that. So if you can create something else to do that, the column of light, the angel wings, I don't care what you want to call it or what imagery you use, if you can do that, you've created a surrogate for the weight, and the body doesn't need the weight anymore. And the body doesn't know the difference between a real and imagined experience. So when you're imagining this protection to your body, you're communicating to your body that it's real. So when you're walking down the street, when people are saying that, have that imagery. When you're done your visualizations, the safe and protected visualization, for example, imagine that. And I do recommend that you listen to the safe and protected one. Imagine this column of light around you, these angel wings, as you're going through your day. Imagine people looking at you and saying, you look fabulous, and you feeling safe and protected with all that protection. And just smile and saying, thank you. Because that's the way it should be, really. You know, it should be thank you,
well,
and then nothing more to it. Yeah.
Yes, my friends that are quite healthy, that's all they do. They simply say thank you when they get a compliment. Whereas I seem to be embarrassed, and that's something I need to deal with.
Right. Well, there are definite emotional issues, and this is what we have to work through. But this safe and protected is going to be tremendously beneficial. And using this imagery, if this imagery works for you, throughout the day, while in real life and in the morning after you do your visualizations, imagine your day at work, with people, with friends, and having this imagery happening all day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, John.
Okay. All right, so let's talk to Ellen from Washington, please.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Hi, Ellen. Yeah, hi.
Hi. I got disconnected the first time around, so I was paranoid.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, great.
What's happening?
Well, thanks for talking. I want to preface this with that, you know, I already know that everything that you say is true and that it works because I've been familiar with your book and using the visualization at night for going on 3 years now, and I lost about 90 pounds, you know, and very quickly and kept it off and everything, but I'm still trying to lose a little more, and I'm also still, you know, struggling with all the issues that everyone always does is growing up overweight and everything. But using the visualizations, my biggest question and issue that I have is that I'm just not very good at it, and my mind tends to go everywhere else. And as much as I try to clear my mind and focus on the visualizations, and it just seems like, I'm all of a sudden I'm thinking about what am I doing at work tomorrow, or the dog, or any other thing. And I'm just wondering, what do you do? Or in time, does that go away, or does it just kind of do the visualizations still work even if you don't, if you're not good at it?
Yeah. Don't make any effort at all. Let your mind wander wherever it wants. The visualization will still work, and you will get better at it. And you're going to be more likely to be more calm and focused if you don't make an effort. If you make an effort, that act of efforting actually brings you into a kind of discordant state where your mind is in a different place than where you need to be. You know, so make no effort. Know that it's still going to work. And I always say about visualization, my favorite kind of saying about it is that, Woody Allen has a saying that 99% of success in life is just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how I feel about visualization. Just show up every day, because the risk is you're making an effort, you feel like it's not working, you can't concentrate, you can't clear your mind, you can't see the things that I'm asking you to see, and so you give up because it's too hard and you get discouraged. When in reality, all you got to do is be there. So be there for it. Just show up. It'll get better and better. And make no effort, because to the extent that you make an effort, that's going to get in the way. There's sort of a theme. I got to say, every call I've ever been on, there's always been a subtle theme. And to me, there's this theme of focusing on something is the worst thing you can do. So we started out with this idea where we were talking about this lady with Paul, where, you focus on how much weight you want to lose by what date, and we explain how that's a recipe for disaster, because you're not focusing on the actual performance things, and you're just going to get more and more discouraged. It's going to cause more and more stress, and then it's going to cause weight gain. So focusing on a weight goal is going to make your weight loss harder. And then we spoke about good days and bad days, where focusing too hard on being perfect is going to make you less perfect. And this is the exact same thing. Focusing too hard on the visualization is going to make the visualization less effective.
Okay.
So be passive with it and know this. So how much more weight are you looking to lose on?
Ideally like 20 to 30 more pounds. I started at about 270. I'm sorry, I don't know in kilos. I started around 270, and I'm now about 180, and it's been 2.5 years I've, kept it off. And, so I'm really actually at a very healthy weight, and I'm healthy and active and all these things. But, I still, just part of me would really like to, I'm still not, I just don't feel like I'm, I'm still.
We'll keep going. I'm inspired to keep going. Make sure you call me during my office hours and let me talk with you, okay?
I really want to, so thank you.
Okay, remind me of who you are when we talk, because I want to take you the rest of the way, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, great job. Okay, let's see. Then we got Carla in Melbourne is next.
Hi, John.
Hi, Carla.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. I just wanted to ask. I feel like I've got kind of a set point that my body doesn't really like going beyond, kind of between about 75 to 78 kilos, just seems to be, no matter what I've done my whole life, even if I'm really healthy and happy and whatever in my life, there just seems to be that point that I just get stuck at. And the thing that I find that it always is really good for me is high intensity exercise, and like you talk about, when you're being feel like you're being chased, and that turns the fat triggers off, and I really think that's really very strong force in my body, that when I exercise that really happens. So in order to get through this set point, I feel like I'm pretty good with what I eat, and that the exercise is the thing I've got to do. But the problem is that I've had a bad back for about 10 years, and I've just recently been diagnosed with asthma. So I find it really hard to do high-intensity exercise, because I get really motivated, and I'll do it for a few weeks, and I'll be feeling fantastic and losing weight, and then all of a sudden, my back goes, and the back and the asthma are linked too, because the muscles around my lungs get tight when I have to breathe too hard, and then that gets a bad back. So it's all linked in, and I'm working on the asthma. I'm doing acupressure, and I'm taking herbal supplements, and I'm off dairy, which is a massive improvement. I'm doing all good stuff to deal with it.
What about other digestion? I find it really hard to know what to do. Okay, what about other digestion issues? Like taking probiotics and digestive enzymes, making sure you're getting lots of live food. And the reason I say this is because digestion issues will cause immune issues, which will exacerbate your asthma.
I've been doing well. I've been eating, lots of, fresh live foods and omega-3s, and I feel like on the diet that I'm going well.
What about digestive enzymes and probiotics?
Yeah, I've been doing that. I've been, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, there's a product called Grain Fields, which is a naturally fermented drink that provides, instead of taking it out of a capsule, it's actually more like a live food.
So fermented drinks will help with your digestion. Okay, so you're focusing on your digestion. Now, where's the back problem? I'm just curious. Lower back, middle back?
It's really random. It's often around where my lungs are, and I've only recently realized why it is that I often get tight and sore there. That's reduced since I've been doing all this natural stuff to help with my lungs. But I feel like I just have to be careful. If I push it beyond a certain point, then it all just seizes up, and it's not in one spot. Sometimes, I'll get sciatic pain down my leg. Sometimes it'll be lower back. Sometimes it'll be upper back. Sometimes it'll be shoulders. Like, it's really quite all over the place, and I just
I got to say one thing. If it's random like that, part of it might be your lungs constricting, but part of it could also be emotionally based. So, our bodies house different emotional issues in different ways, and some people say there's even a mind-body connection to different ailments. Like, when your lower back's bothering you, you don't feel financially supported. When your middle back's bothering you, it's emotional things. When your neck's bothering you, you can't change direction or something like that. So, they make these sort of analogies, and I think there's some truth to them. Because I've seen in my own life, when I've been worried about being supported financially, my back bothers me, or emotionally, my lower back, emotionally my middle back. So there might be some truth to that, but there's no question that our emotions are affecting our back. So don't discount when you're doing all these things. It's always easy to get the naturopath and it checks your thyroid and your digestion and gives you herbal supplements. You can't discount the emotional component, because the emotional component to me is almost always the trigger for autoimmune things, for chronic pains, for random pains. So that's an area that I would focus. Now what type of intensity exercise are you doing?
Well, at the moment, I've been doing Pilates twice a week for like 10 years, because that's the only thing that really keeps my back, from going psycho. But other than that, I do tend to go in waves, because, as I say, I get all energized and motivated and, do too much. And then, whether it's going to the gym or, I tried running, which was really stupid, because that's the absolute worst thing. It's when I do that pounding, that's when my back really doesn't cope with that.
That's why I'm asking. I want to know specifically, when you're doing your intensity work, what are you doing? I want to know that. So what are you doing when you're doing your intensity work?
I was part of Contours for a while. Do you know Contours? Like, you do one weight machine and then you do one sort of high intensity thing, and it's all different stuff. Star jumps or running on the spot or different stuff like that.
What about biking? What about a stationary bike or outdoor bike? What about that? Will that bother your back?
No, that's probably if I got one that had a sturdy back, like, if I'm in a normal bike where I have to be leaning over, then that's probably not great. But if I had one that's like a sitting up bike, that's probably the best thing. But they're like, bloody expensive.
But you're talking about a stationary bike or a push bike?
Oh, like an exercise bike, like a stationary one.
All right, but you can use those in a gym, because you're going to the gym anyway. So if you go to Contours, I'm sure they've got a stationary bike. And then you can, I don't know if biking outdoors, but biking outdoors is the best thing in the world. So what I usually do for my intensity exercise, for the exact same reasons, because running's going to bother my back, is that I will ride a bike, either a stationary bike or an outdoor bike. Preferably, if I'm feeling healthy, I'll ride an outdoor bike. And I'll go real easy most of the time. Maybe I'll ride it for 10, 20 minutes. But on those short bursts when I'm going up a hill, I stand up and I sprint. And that's the intensity work that I do. And by the way, everybody else that's listening, this is sort of a conversation that only applies to a small minority of all of you right now, because there'll come a time and place when you might want to be looking at these issues, but it's not applicable to everyone, what we're saying right now. I'd rather you focus. When you're in a place where you're overwhelmed with stress and emotional issues, that's just causing more stress. So I can actually feel people on the line as I'm talking saying, oh, I'm getting stressed out, I think I have to do this. Don't do that. just listen to it for when the time comes, when the other stresses are gone, if you want to revisit this. But anyway, the point is, just going up, just doing it on a bike is not going to create the compression. It's not going to bother your back. You will have to do the stretching afterwards, because the tightening in your muscles and your legs is going to cause back problems. So if you do that rather than weights or jumping jacks or whatever they got you doing at Curbs, if you do that as your intensity work, it shouldn't bother your back as much.
Okay. And so what about the weights? Like, do you think weights are still good?
Yeah, weights I put into a secondary category of good. Yeah, weights are good. They're going to make your body more sensitive to insulin, because you're draining your muscles of sugar, so your body's going to want to suck up insulin. But the actual act of moving, ideally running, but most of us can't do that. I can't do that because of my back, because of that compression on our bodies. But moving on a bike, the actual act of moving gets that, what we call it, get thin or get eaten adaptation. It gets your body, it's a primal thing. You're running away, maybe you're chasing some prey, or you're running away from a predator. But that primal moving thing is the signal to your body that you need to be thin. And the intensity, it's not just moving like doing a 40-minute cardio walk. It's just the 10, 20 seconds of moving really, really quick is your body saying, wow, you know, we need to be really quick right now in order to survive. And it makes your body adjust. So if you rode your bike for 5, 10 minutes, say, and real leisurely, but every once in a while for 10 seconds while you're going up a hill, you stood up and sprinted, it wouldn't bother your back, it wouldn't cause compression problems, and it would give you the intensity that you're looking for without any of the structural problems. But you will need to stretch out afterwards also.
Because just going for a walk, that's not going to be really in terms of getting the, you know, get eaten thing. That's
not
going to work.
But what is if you're going for a walk and then all of a sudden you start walking up a hill as fast as you can for 10 seconds, or walking up a flight of stairs as fast as you can. Those times also, going up a hill isn't going to give you compression or back problems as much. So if I ever do any running at all, it's up a hill, because you don't get the pounding. But it's only for 10 seconds. You know, like if you look at an Olympic sprinter that does a 100-yard dash, those guys, like, they look like their anatomy lessons. I mean, nobody has less fat on their body than a sprinter. Marathon runners don't have, they've got more fat on their body. Not that they've got fat, but you know what I mean. This is a 10-second sprint. So you only have to do it for 10 seconds, and you got to figure out a way to do it that doesn't cause compression problems. So if you're walking and all of a sudden you're going uphill, you know, do some sort of super walk up the hill or something like that, you know, just for 10 seconds.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay.
Just one really quick question about the last lady who was talking about the visualization. Like, I've got the same problem sometimes, and what I often do if I have a thought is to visualize it on a cloud, and I say, I acknowledge you, and I see it float away, so that I haven't ignored it, but I've kind of acknowledged it but got rid of it. Like, is that okay, or do you think that's still too much focus and just let go?
No, that's brilliant, as long as you don't feel it's too much focus. The important thing is what you're feeling. If you're feeling like, oh, I got to do that visualization, I have the energy to try to calm my mind, then you're not going to do the visualization. So what's important is that you feel that process is effortless and relaxing to you. And if it's effortless and relaxing to you, then do it. If it's not, if it's still an effort, then don't do it, because the whole point is to relax you, not to create effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
All right, my pleasure. Okay, we're gonna talk to Minerva in Montreal is next. Minerva, before you come on, you can bring Minerva on, but before we talk, just want to make a general announcement. Just for most of the listeners, forget everything I just said. To call it, just erase it from your mind. We will come in a couple of months when you're feeling calm, relaxed. We can talk about it again. But usually you come into a program, you know, you come into this situation just so overwhelmed, so stressed out, the last thing you want to be thinking about is running away from Tiger. So leave it alone for now. Forget everything I said, and we can, if you want, we can talk about it another time. So, Minerva, you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'd like to say a big hello to everybody. I also want to say how incredibly much I appreciate everybody's sharing of their different challenges. It's hugely helpful to me. I'm just 2 weeks in the program, and already have some moments of discouragement. So, I mean, boy, thank you all so much. I really, really appreciate it. And it kind of clears the way for me to ask a different question, because some of the questions I had were already answered.
Right.
And I was interested in knowing if you felt like it, if you were willing, to talk a little bit about cellular release therapy, what it did for you, and if you feel it's even relevant, how many sessions of it you did.
Yeah, I did two sessions with Paula Robbins, who's the originator of the program that we put together. And I just did them, maybe I did them about 2 years ago. But the reason I did them was because you could probably tell by now that I'm going to look everywhere. There's nothing on earth that I'm going to say, oh, that's too weird, I'm not going to try that. I'm going to try everything and give it a real try. And then if it shows that it's not effective, then I don't do it. I sort of have the opposite paradigm to like a scientific approach, in a sense, because a scientific approach is everything's false until proven true. I say everything's true until proven false, as long as it doesn't hurt you or cause you toxins, you know, not like getting surgery or taking medication. Everything's true until proven false. So that may not be, obviously that's not true, but it leads me in directions to find things that I otherwise wouldn't have found. So anytime somebody calls me and they say, I'm doing this therapy, I'm doing that therapy, I'm always going to say, okay, let me try it, because I get, that's part of the bonuses of being in the situation. I mean, I get lots of free therapy.
And right,
at this point, I don't feel like I need it, because most of the things I've worked out when I was going through my own weight loss journey, but I'm always looking for something for other people. So she approached me about 2 years ago, and we had two sessions. Oh, and I got to tell you that there are certain childhood issues, I think, that we all have, but I know that I was working on abandonment issues, abusive issues that I never ever could even access. And, you know, I'd have some temporary relief from, and I learned how to live in the world safe and confident and all these things despite it, but it never hit them, you know, I never just got it. And she just did this visualization with me, could put me in a really deep state, and she nailed it. And I realized that what they are, basically, is they are trained to guide you, customly guide you on a visualization journey to a very, very, very deep state. And then once you're there, work with this unconscious part of you, subconscious part of you, where you're housing those memories, and cleverly restructure them. Like, there was this one situation where it was an abusive situation where, you know, it was with a bully, basically. And that bully just got smaller and smaller, and I got bigger and bigger, to the point where I could just flick him away with my finger. And in that deep state, it just reprogrammed the issue, and I wasn't afraid of people like him anymore. You know, and it's irrational. I could talk to you about this for the next 20 years, and I'd still have this irrational fear until it's dealt with on a cellular level. So that's what they do. It can be expensive. There's no question about it. It's not mandatory for anybody, because we try to give you everything that we can within the program, but we do want to point you in the right direction. To me, it's the best bang for the buck, in a sense, because if you're able to resolve lifetime issues that are causing health issues, weight issues, and you think how much money you spend on medication, doctors, and diet type of thing, if you put it in that perspective, it's actually really cheap. But I found her style and their style, and they're all trained by a specific lady who founded it. It's just a perfect style to get in there and deal with, you know, life issues.
Yeah, it seems like a really good tool for emotional obesity. Am I right about that?
Well, that's exactly what it's for. That's,
yeah.
100% what it's for. There's no question. That's exactly what it's for. And you know, and you have to work with them about how many sessions and things like that. But but yeah, to me, it's of all the different therapies out there, I found this to be truly effective at dealing with the root issues.
Mm. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. My pleasure. Okay, well, let's keep in touch, okay?
Yes.
Take care.
You too.
Okay, so let's talk to Bridget in Mildura? Bridget, you there? Okay, I think we lost Bridget. We only have a couple more on the call, and we've got about 20 minutes left. We're extending the call by a half hour, so I make sure I talk to everyone. So let's put the next one on. Bridget, if you come back, I will talk to you. Let's talk to Tam in Utah.
Hey.
Hey, Tam.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm struggling. I'm talking to you because I'm struggling, or I would be hiding on this call.
Okay. Let's talk.
I'm just seeing the weight go up. It's not huge. I don't like to weigh myself a lot because I get really, you know, uptight with numbers. I've spent the last 6 months trying to eat plant-based and not vegetarian, but just to use sprouted lentils and, you know, beans and things and less meat because I actually felt better. But I was still gaining weight after a very long period of time doing dieting and HCG and all kinds of things. So
Let me stop you. Can I stop you, please? So HCG is a real, you know, it's a very popular diet right now, but I've dealt with the fallback of that from many, many people. So when you start interfering with your body hormonally, you don't take into consideration how incredibly intelligent our bodies are, because if you elevate the level, there's two elements, and this is something that they don't teach. I don't know why they don't teach this, but a lot of doctors out there understand this, but it just isn't mainstream wisdom for whatever reason, but it's so simple. There's two elements to a hormone. The first element is that it's a signal. It's a signal, a message to your body. That's the first element. So how much of that signal do you have in your body to communicate whatever the message is? The second element of that pathway is how well is the cell listening to the message? And that's the part that nobody ever focuses on. And when there's a hormonal imbalance and you just raise a level of a hormone, what usually typically ends up happening is the cell stops listening to the hormone. And then you end up with a rebound effect. And the reason the cell stops listening to the hormone is the same reason that when you're in a concert, your ears go deaf. The reason your ears go deaf is because the music's too loud, so your brain and the cells in your eardrum turn down the receptivity of the music. And that's what happens when you add a hormone to your body, is you lower the body's receptivity, the cellular receptivity of the body. The cells stop listening. And that's why there are warnings and disclaimers on antidepressants that they can cause suicide. And I'm not saying don't take any medication if your doctor's telling you, or don't change your hormones if that's what your doctor's telling you. I'm telling you just to understand this. So it makes sense to me that an antidepressant can increase the risk of suicide, because you're altering your brain hormones, which are called neurotransmitters. So you're elevating certain hormones, or what you call neurotransmitters, and that's making the cells less sensitive to them. And so once it gets less sensitive, the whole reason you were taking it totally backfires, and you get this huge, massive depression. And that's true of many other things like insulin. So you're taking insulin to lower your blood sugar, but the whole reason that if you're a type 2 diabetic, for example, the whole reason why you can't lower your blood sugar is because the cells aren't sensitive to insulin. Adding more insulin makes the cells less sensitive. So you're on the HCG if you go on the HCG diet, you're going to make some improvements until the cells of your body become less sensitive to the hormones that you're putting into your body, and then you have a rebound effect. And I've seen the rebound effect so many times. So the first thing I want to say to you is I wouldn't discount the fact that at the moment you're overcoming the rebound effect of that diet. The other thing I want to say to you before we go any further is that when you tell me that you've changed your diet this way or that way, you're focusing on diet, and that's a beautiful thing, but there's definitely other issues. And that's really, when you and I talk, I want to talk about what those other issues are. But at the same time, I want to know, like, where you are, if you've just finished a diet, if you've done these things. So there's going to be some fallout. When did you stop doing the HCG thing?
December.
December. Okay.
And immediately had a major hormonal dive. You know, I was turning 52 right about then, and I'd never had really, you know, kind of entered perimenopause, all kinds of stuff like that. And it all happened at once.
Okay, right. All right, so now you got hormonal issues, the perimenopause, to add on that, and perimenopause can also cause issues. So that's where we're at right now, and we have to kind of undo a little bit of that. So according to Howard Leibowitz, the reason why we gain weight during menopause, the main reason is because of the overall accumulated stress on the body. So menopause is one stress, but if you've got lots of other stresses, such as this hormonal imbalance from the HCG thing and the rebound effect that you suffer from it, and then whatever emotional issues that you have and stress-related issues, that overall balance, that overall load of stress is going to be too much for your body. So the first thing we need to do is we need to just be really relaxed about this. And we need to take it one day at a time and again, focus on the performance goals of listening to visualizations. Maybe I would recommend that if you want, you join one of Dr. Leibowitz's free bi-monthly conference calls. He doesn't do free consults, so I just want to make that clear, but he does these conference calls that we can join in and have a quick chat with him. So might be worth telling him exactly where you're at. And then you and I make sure that you and I talk on my office hours, so we can get a little bit more customized as to what we can do. But the first place I want to get for you is not that all of a sudden you lose all the weight. I want to get to the place where your weight's stable and sustainable. That's our first milestone. Okay, and so I want to do certain things to lower your stress, everything that you're working on with your coach, to lower your overall stress load so that we can get to stable and sustainable. Once we get to stable and sustainable, then we'll start talking about taking the weight off, okay? So let's start with that, okay?
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so keep focusing on the positive things, drinking lots of water. How much weight do you want to lose?
Probably 95 or 100 pounds.
Okay. Drink a lot. And what about sleep apnea? Have you been tested for it? Do you know if you have it?
I'm working on that right now. I don't think that I have it. I just have a lot of pain issues that, honestly, I just can't sleep very well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't want to take
so
any...
get tested for that. The pain issues could also have an emotional component. We can talk about that, you and I.
Okay.
And so let's work. But let's get to that. Let's start with that. Stable, sustainable. That's where we want to be, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Okay, let's talk to Yafri in Seattle. So we only have about 10 minutes left. So if these calls are not long enough, then you and I will, then we'll talk throughout the week. So let's start with Yafri.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you? Am I getting your name right, by the way?
Yafri, yeah. You did a great job.
Great. How can I help you?
Well, you've really answered pretty much everything that was on my mind over the course of the call. Only one thing is kind of sticking in there. I do want to say that I love the focus on the performance goal as opposed to the weight loss goal. I think that's going to make a huge difference for me. But the question I have is I've got the evening visualization, and I've started fully incorporating the morning visualization. As somebody who's really just getting started on my journey, is there another visualization that you think I should insert in first?
Oh, wait, so which visualization are you listening to in the morning?
just the standard morning visualization, just the 15
minutes?
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's perfect. But the idea also is your coach, I don't know if your coach is going to kind of help you decide which ones to listen to in the morning, but always listen to the evening one, and then you can kind of customize. I want you to get into the habit of waking up listening to a visualization. So you can pick anyone you want, as far as I'm concerned, and it's only going to help you. You can't do it wrong, but because it's going to create that habit. So the standard generic one is fine until your coach tells you that maybe you need a different one. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, and I'm really looking forward to my first call with my coach coming up this weekend. So
excellent. So I'm happy you're on the call. You can talk to me during my office hours, and let's get started. Okay.
All right. Thanks, John.
Sure. Take care. Okay. So we've got Bridget back from Mildura. So let's take Bridget. Bridget, you there?
Hello, John. Hello.
Hi,
can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
The question I have, I've had a trauma happen to me about 3 weeks ago. I was walking with my dog and he got attacked and mauled pretty badly. And since then, I've been having problems. I'm quite happy in myself and everything. But when I go out walking with him, I do the protected visualization.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't protect him.
Yeah, all right, let me just stop you, Bridget, okay? So in a situation like this, I would absolutely 100% take a course of sessions of cellular release therapy right then and there, because the wound is so fresh, you can get it right here. You know, when something happens when we're 3 weeks old or 3 years old, or we don't remember it, and just finding it and uncovering layers and layers to get to it, it could take years. But you've got it right here. It just happened. And by the way, I'm so sorry to hear that it happened, but you've got it fresh right now. I would stop everything and make sure you deal with this issue right now while it's fresh, before you start to cover it up, before the wound starts to seal and you have to uncover it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
I'm sorry?
We do the morning visualization together and we walk out of the door and I'm fine until we get further down the street. And as soon as I hear a big dog barking, I freeze up and I get really scared. He's not scared of other dogs. He's standing there, meet me. But it's making me very nervous and I'm finding I'm doing a bit of backsliding with that.
Absolutely. Bridget, please do this, because this is so fresh, you can get it right now. You haven't developed any associated, when people have traumas, it affects you so many ways. You can gain ridiculous amounts of weight, develop autoimmune diseases, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, inflammation, arthritis, joint pains, thyroid problems, digestion, and then it goes to digestion problems, and it just escalates and escalates and escalates layer upon layer upon layer, year after year after year. You've got a chance right now to get it fresh. Stop everything and go do whatever you have to right now to get it fresh. Okay? Develop any of those other problems. I'm sorry?
Where's the best place to get help?
Cellular release therapy. Okay? Talk to your coach.
I'm sure you can't get that.
It doesn't matter where you are. Bridget, listen to me, honey. It doesn't matter where you are. You do them over the phone, over the Skype, or you can even do them over the phone. So who's your coach? Do you know who your coach is?
Brian.
Okay.
Brian,
please tell Brian that I said to you that you have to stop everything. When I say stop everything, you have to do the cellular release therapy for the rest of your life. He'll instruct you how to do it. Okay.
Thank you, John. Thank you. That was very helpful.
All right. Good.
Bye-bye.
Let's keep talking. Bye. All right, let's talk to Linda in Prince Albert, Canada.
Hi, John.
Hi.
John? It's Linda.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Linda. Hi.
My question for you is, I had taken your 6-week transformation course, and I really enjoyed it, and then I got on the case study. But what I'm dealing with right now is I have injured an old injury that I have in my shoulder and my neck. So it has sort of re-triggered all my fat issues that I had. Mm-hmm. And I find that I'm hungry all the time, and I'm eating when I don't want to be eating, but it's just I don't know quite how to deal with the pain. And I just wonder, is there any visualizations that will help to release some of the pain
until
I can get it under control?
How did you injure your neck?
Well, it's a recurring injury that I have from my job, and I pop something in behind my shoulder blade, and it goes up into my neck, and then and then I can't use my arm and use my shoulder in that for a few days, but it's a recurring injury that I have.
but was it because of that you fell, or you just turned your neck a certain way and all of a sudden you had a problem?
Well, this recent incident was I just lifted my arm up to stretch my arm over over my head, and that popped something in my shoulder, and I'm not sure what actually led up to it happening. Because
only because we're going to be a little bit short on time, and I want to address an important point. Can you remember what was going on in your head over the hours preceding, or even days preceding, your mental state, your thoughts, what was concerning you before that happened? Can you remember that, if you think back?
Well, I was at work, so it's possible that I heard it at work, but I find that when I get hurt at work, it takes like 2 to 3 days before it'll show up on my body.
Yeah.
Whenever
I've had, and I've seen with other people, whenever we have, there's a chronic condition that just comes up out of nowhere. It's not like a branch fell on your head, but I mean exactly what you just did. There's an emotional component to it.
Okay.
Something you're worried about at work, something like that. So I wouldn't discount that, and I would investigate that. That's the first thing I would say. As far as pain relief, I could help you with a visualization. I don't have one made already. I could try to help you with a visualization if you're just imagining like a light going through your neck and opening it up. I can try to work on that for you.
Okay.
Who is your coach?
Desiree.
Okay. If you could ask her to send me a message, and I can try to make a visualization that we can share with everyone for pain relief, then I would recommend that you listen to that. But other things like acupuncture and osteopathic work are the types of things I would recommend for the structural side of it. But I always like to look at the root issue, and to me, the root issue is going to be found when you think about what was going on, what was concerning you in the days or hours prior to when that happened.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So we just talked to Linda from Prince Albert. Now we're going to talk to Kate from Prince Edward Island. So I guess all the princes are being represented at the moment. So, Kate, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here, John.
Good.
John, I just started a few weeks ago, and I like the visualizations, and I think it's all coming together well in terms of emotional issues. One thing that seems to constantly sabotage my weight loss efforts, though, is chronic insomnia. And I mean chronic for like the last 50 years. I'm doing very well during the day. Everything seems to work. And then I can't sleep. And then when I can't sleep, I eat. Or I drink. I do something because the carbohydrates seem to help me relax to sleep. And I don't know how to deal with that.
Gotcha. And there's no question. I got you. First of all, how much weight do you want to lose?
About 50 pounds.
Okay. And have you ruled out sleep apnea?
Yes, I've been to a sleep clinic, and I have restless leg syndrome. I take medication for that, and that's helped a lot.
Mm. So what about when you listen to the evening visualization CDs? Do you notice any difference in your sleeping?
No, in fact, I think it actually makes it worse because it's so long it keeps me awake when I might sleep.
What about playing it really low so you can barely hear it? Can you try that?
I can try that, yes. But,
because it's designed to put you to sleep. Now, a couple other things. What about, try this routine just one time if you can. Before you go to sleep, take a hot bath. And I'm sure you've tried everything, but just indulge me for a second. Before you go to sleep, take a hot bath. And then do this stretch that I'm about to tell you. So you're on your bed. I'd like you to get, like, you're on your hands and knees, okay? And then mm-hmm. and then as you're on your hands and knees, you put your head on the bed. Do you understand?
So, I'm on my hands, so you're on your hands on and knees on the floor?
No, on,
the
on your
floor?
Bed.
On the bed.
On your bed. Yeah.
Put my head on the bed.
Put your forehead on the bed. Do you understand? So your hands are no longer holding you up. It's just your knees and your forehead, and your hands are supporting you a little bit. Do you understand?
Yes.
So what you're doing is you're stretching out your spine. Then I'd like you to turn your head all the way to the left, real gently, and lean to the right, if you can imagine that. And then do it to the opposite side. Turn your head to the right and lean to the left. Just real slow and relaxed. That's going to stretch out your spine. And the back's going to relax you. And all of these are things that will reduce stress and help you get into a deep state. And over time, your insomnia should improve anyway by doing all the different things that we're doing to help reduce stress. But try this routine and then put the evening visualization on really low so you can barely hear it. And I'd just like you to try that, see if there's any difference. Either way, afterwards, talk to me and if that worked, great. If not, we'll come up with some other ideas, okay?
Okay. All right. That was my main issue.
Right.
Okay, thank
you. Okay, cool. Well, let's keep talking about it. You call me and we'll keep working on it, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, Kate. All right, so we just have one – bye-bye, Kate. We got one more call and five more minutes, so let's see if we can do that. So John in Austin, Texas, are you there?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hey, John. I can hear you great.
Okay. Just getting started. Been doing the – evening visualizations and actually my question is very similar to the previous one. I think about a lot of the big problem that I'm having is not getting good sleep, and for a long time I've been on a prescription for Ambien, and I sleep really well with Ambien, but Ambien creates memory problems. You start forgetting things,
and
I got off the
Ambien. Unfortunately, when it comes to medication, there's no free lunch. My father used to say that all the time. There's no such thing as a free lunch. It used to drive me crazy, but that saying is definitely true when it comes to medication.
Mm.
The pharmacist
told me that the Ambien was plugging into the GABA receptor, and so he'd be switching me. He said, "Well, try GABA," and that helps. But I'm still, I get to sleep fine, but I wake up two or three times in the night.
So,
no supplements or anything that you'd recommend?
There's very few supplements that I do recommend, actually. I mean, I recommend getting omega-3s either in supplement or in live food. I recommend getting digestion issues. But I'm just not a supplement person. I just believe that the body's going to be healthy when you deal with the real issues. So I'm never looking at the last place I always look is a supplement or a medication. But what about when you listen to the visualization? Do you notice any difference if you listen to visualization in that?
Well, it definitely makes me calmer, and I listen to I put the visualization MP3 on my cell phone, and the cell phone's beside my bed, and I play it, and I drift off to sleep fine with that evening visualization. So,
okay, here's a really,
so that,
really important
question. Getting to sleep the first time is easy. It's just that I can't stay asleep. So,
all right, so here's a really important question. In the middle of the night, when you get up, do you look at your cell phone?
No.
Okay, good. Because that light will cause you to wake up. All right. So.
Oh no, it turns off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. So this is something that, again, I think we can work out over time. The program's going to close in just about 30 seconds. I don't have control over it. So the longest we can go is 90 minutes. So if we get cut off, you can call me throughout the week and we'll talk. But this is something that we're going to work on over a couple of months. I think we're going to come up with some different solutions different ideas to try to find a solution. Okay, so if you can call me on my office hours, just remind me who you are and with the conversation, and we'll come up with some ideas. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Beautiful. All right. Thanks very much, John. Okay. So thanks, everyone. Thanks very much to Christine, to Coach Smita and Paul, and to everybody for sharing your stories and your journey with us. It's been a great call, and I really, really look forward to continuing to work with you. So take care, everyone. Thanks.